You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's now, brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I am. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to One Christian Speak Talk Radio Network or Christian Speak Talk Radio Network. Yeah, I said it right. But anyway, I want to welcome you to His Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams. We're about to get started in a few minutes. Minister Vanessa, man, I'm telling you, I really appreciate the word that she's bringing forth. It's part two of something that she started a couple of weeks ago called Stop. Don't block your blessing. This is part two of it, man, and I'm just excited to be able to listen to it and play this for you again, amen. We know that you will be blessed by this message. We encourage you, by all means, share the message. It's an awesome message. All of us need to hear it. I know that I listened to it a couple of times and everything, but just be blessed, man. You know, and I want to read something that she wrote on her Facebook page, amen. And I started sharing it with the people that's on social media. But this is what she said. She said, how many of you, your blessings are stored up in heaven because you are blocking them from being released? She asked the question. She said, the church body is there, the division among you? Are you more concerned about religious practice than you are about God's people? Is unforgiveness, strife, or envy blocking your blessings? Let me read this again, man, because this is awesome. This is powerful. And it's something that it makes you want to think of. And what it do, it makes you examine yourself, okay? So it says, how many of your blessings are stored up in heaven because you are blocking them from being released? The church body, is this division? Is there a division among you? Are you more concerned about religious practice than you are about God's people? Is unforgiveness, strife, or envy blocking your blessing? Amen. So we go ahead and get started. Amen. This is an awesome word. I do want to remind you real quick, as always, it's about the grace of Minister Vanessa. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. The Clan of Prince Rick with Reverend Pat Randall. It's every Thursday. I do Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray. Amen. It's Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life. Amen. It's Sundays at 7 p.m., but it's the first and the fourth Sunday. Amen. We have other programs that are taking those Sunday slots. Amen. The Bold and the Beautiful, Reverend Novita Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, Minister Jordana Cunningham. It's every second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElreen is every third Monday of the month. Marriage Church Over the Body of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk, with myself, Alston Green, Cleophas Malone, Antonio Mitchell, is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. In fact, we got one coming up next Sunday. Amen. A weekly prayer is done by Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's called Midday Glory Prayer, Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Amen. This is a free conference call number. Amen. The telephone number is 715-3580. SS code, let me read that again. The telephone number is 641-715-3580. Okay, the SS code is 732-499. You can find all this information, of course, on our website, whenchristianspeak.com. You also can check out our Facebook page. The information is also there, When Christians Speak. I mean, we have a group and we have a page. We have both. We appreciate you going by, liking us, or sending us a message, or joining the page. Amen. We really like to increase the numbers, not because we want to be, you know, big and like that, but we want to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, if you have a desire to sow a seed or donation into the ministry, you can do so by going to whenchristianspeak.com and clicking on the donate now button. Amen. There's a donation page. Everything is secured, is done through PayPal. We don't keep any of your information. We don't record none of that kind of stuff. That's why we use PayPal. Amen. So, and they don't record it, keep it, and nothing like that too. So check out PayPal. Okay. Also, we do have a Cash App. If you'd like to do it that way, you can do it. So by $ WhenChristians. Amen. All one word. Okay. But if you like more information on how to sow seed into this, what we do here, we are a 501c3 company. Amen. We do send out your letters or information for tax purposes for people that have donated through the year. We're coming on the close of the year now, and it's not too late. We do need your help. Amen. There's some things that God has given me a vision for the broadcast that I would like for us to go, and I can't do it by myself. Okay? So, all that I've done and said, here's abound the grace with Minister Vanessa Williams. Amen. Stop. Don't block your blessing. Amen. This is part two. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. All of you who are listening to us this evening, I just thank God for you. We thank God for this radio ministry, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is Minister Van, and in a few minutes, we're going to be sharing a little bit more about what we started to speak about a couple weeks ago. And this was a series in part one, Don't Block Your Blessings. Don't Block Your Blessings. This is going to be part two. And I really want to take my time and just kind of talk to you this evening. So let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll get right to the word. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, thanking you, Father, for your many blessings in our lives. Thanking you, Father, for giving us another opportunity to get it right. Thanking you, Heavenly Father, for another opportunity to serve. Thanking you, Lord God, for another opportunity to reach out to your people, Father, and just share some news about what you would have us to do concerning how to reach out to you, Lord God, so we do not block our own blessings. Lord God, we thank you for this radio ministry. We thank you for When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We thank you, Father, for our audience, Lord God, and we know, Lord God, we believe and we trust in that you have everyone that you would want to listen in on this broadcast tonight, whether it be the listener or whether it be someone able to pass it on to someone else, Lord God, we trust and believe, Lord God, that everybody is where you would want them to be right now. So this word will go out as you said it would. If you said when it goes out, it would never return unto you void. So we're claiming that right now in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen. 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 Well, again, the topic of this message is Don't Block Your Blessings, and this is part two. We've got two main scripture verses tonight. One, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And then Proverbs, the third chapter, 5:6, which reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. All right, well, on part one, we covered several things that block your blessings. Most of these were discussed at a pretty high level. We talked about disobedience. We talked about unforgiveness. We talked about unbelief. We spent a lot of time talking about negative words and words you say out of your mouth and how they can be doing you more harm than you really know. We talked about pride and we talked about fear. Basically, anything that goes contrary to the word of God will block your blessings and keep you from enjoying all of the benefits God has in store for you. There are so many other areas where you could very well be blocking your own blessings. As I mentioned in part one of this series, I asked the question, have you been asking God for something and been waiting a long time for it to manifest? Could your many blessings all be stored up in heaven just waiting for you to release them? Could you be praying in vain? Could it be just words bouncing off the walls? Are your prayers penetrating heaven or falling on deaf ears? Are your prayers really prayers at all, or are they just merely words that sound good to you and to you alone? Are you blocking your own blessings? In part two tonight, we're going to delve a little deeper into some of these blessing blockers and perhaps discuss some others. For example, disobedience. And then we're going to talk about strife or division among the church family, the body of Christ. Disobedience. Not following God's voice. Are you blocking your own blessing by not obeying the word, the voice of God, by not being sensitive to what His Holy Spirit is telling you to do or not to do? Can you think of a time you knew it was God's voice telling you not to do something, but instead you disobeyed and you did it anyway? How is your conscience? What happened afterward? What were your consequences? Were you so intent on doing it your own way that you decided not to tune in to the voice of God? Can you think of a time when you knew it was God's voice telling you to do something, but instead you disobeyed and did not do it? How was your conscience? What was the consequence of you not doing it? Can you think of a time when you knew it was God's voice telling you to be still and not do anything, to wait on the Lord, and yet you decided you couldn't wait any longer, and so you took matters into your own hands? How was your conscience? What was the consequence of not waiting on the Lord? When we know the Word of God says, be still and know that I am God. Don't you know God has your best interest at heart? You see, for those of us who are Christians, oftentimes, it's not that we don't know the voice of God. We simply refuse to obey it. Why? Why don't we obey it? Could it be that you are allowing impatience to take control? Could it be because you are not taking your Christian journey seriously? Could it be that deep down, you really don't trust God to do what He said He would do? He said He would take care of you. He told you don't worry about tomorrow. He said He cares about every little hair on your head. He knows every little hair on your head. He knows the numbers of the sand and on the seashore. Could it be that deep down you really just don't trust Him? Or could it simply be that you're putting God in a box? How often do you decide to take matters into your own hands and you rationalize that the situation isn't something that warrants God's attention? How often do you decide not to do something that you know God is telling you to do because you are allowing your own selfish motives to get in the way? How often do you decide to disobey what you know God is telling you to do just because? Disobeying the voice of God will take you down a road you really don't want to travel, a road of pain and misery, a road of self-condemnation, a road of missed opportunities. Disobeying the voice of God would take you down a road of, if only I had done that, or if only I hadn't done that. A road of what if? A road of woe is me. Why me, Lord? And we, who have the Holy Spirit living on the inside as our guide, should always get into a position where, when God speaks, we know His voice, and we quickly say without hesitation, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. For how can we know His voice? By knowing His word. You see, we've been blessed beyond measure to have the Holy Spirit as our guide. And the word lets us know that the Holy Spirit is there within us to direct us, to guide us. He talks to us. You see, if you get to know His voice, you will be in a good position. How can you truly know God's voice? By getting to know Him. And how can you truly get to know Him? By reading and studying His word. For John 1:1 lets us know that God and His word are the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 1:1 lets us know that He and His word is the same. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. You see, God didn't ask us to try to understand this. He hasn't asked us to try to figure it out. He merely asked us to trust him and to obey. Sometimes we often get tossed into unfamiliar territory, places where we haven't gone before, situations where we are uncomfortable and not sure of what to do. And times like these, we need to be sure we recognize his voice, especially during this time when there are so many voices out there. It's important to know our Father's voice, isn't it? And it's just as equally important, or even more so, to obey his voice. For when we are in unfamiliar or strange places, we can find comfort in his voice. And there's another reason why it's important to know his voice and obey. You see, you're listening to so many other voices out there. You take orders from so many other voices out there. Don't you know that some of these other voices will lead you down the wrong path, the path to destruction, a path that's full of heartache and pain, the path to confusion? You listen to the wrong voices, and then you wonder why God doesn't help you. Guess what? He's still standing there. He's waiting for you to acknowledge his voice. For God is ever so patient, so tender, and so merciful. Stop. Just stop and think about it. Are you blessing your own? Are you blocking your own blessings by not obeying the voice of God? You see, God's voice would not go contrary to his word. If you are in doubt about whether it's God's voice, try the Spirit by the Spirit. God's voice will never take you down, will never tell you to do anything contrary to his word. His voice, his word, his will, all the same. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." According to his will. How will you know what his will is if you don't study his word? "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." His will is in his word. How often do you block your own blessings by not embracing the fruit of his spirit? Love, joy, patience, peace, long-suffering, and all of the other fruit of the spirit. You see, James 1 instructs us to let patience have her perfect work so that we will be complete, liking nothing. We're talking about obeying the word of God and how disobeying the word of God will cause you to block your blessing. That's talking about waiting on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. How often do you block your blessings by not asking for wisdom? Wisdom, God tells us in James 1:5, that if you don't have it, if you don't know which way to go, ask him. Ask him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Ask him for wisdom. You know, I started trying to be consistent every morning before I started the day, asking him for wisdom on my job, because I know I'm going to encounter some situations where I might not make the right decision. So, Lord, I ask him in advance, in the early morning hour. I said, "Lord, throughout this day, would you give me wisdom concerning situations on my job so that I won't make a mistake?" You know, sometimes I miss it because I hear his voice and I might not follow it because I might get in a hurry to get this place or that place or to do this or that. But we need to make a concerted effort to ask him on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, for wisdom. For James 1:5 says, if any of you don't have wisdom, ask him. Ask him. Now, here's some food for serious thinking. Children, are you blocking your blessings by not honoring your parents? Are you blocking your blessings by not honoring your parents? Ephesians 6 chapter says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise." First commandment with promise. "That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Children, are you blocking your blessing by not honoring your parents? And parents, Are you blocking your blessings by not training your child up according to the word of God? Are you blocking your own blessings by not training your child up according to the word of God? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he would not depart from it. From what? The word that you train him up to be. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he would not depart from it. So parents, are you blocking your own blessings? Are you blocking the blessings of your children? Okay, here's something for the entire body of Christ, the church. Now, how many know that oftentimes the church as a whole can block its blessings by not being on one accord? The church can block its own blessings by not being on one accord. The Word of God lets us know that we are to strive for unity in the body of Christ. We are to strive for unity in the body of Christ. Philippians 4th chapter says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life, Paul is speaking here, to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. The third verse says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, bounding yourselves together with peace. The fourth verse says, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you all have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. You see, when we choose to be disobedient, there is strife. Philippians, let's go to Philippians, the second chapter. Talk about that we all should have the attitude of Christ. Are you blocking your blessings by having the wrong attitude? Are you blocking your blessings by having the wrong attitude? Philippians 2:1 says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. This is Brother Paul speaking here. He says, don't be selfish. He's talking to the church in Philippi. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. The fifth verse says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. I want you to think, I'm going to pause for a minute and let you think about that. Think about the attitude that Christ Jesus had. You see, the sixth verse says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, the ninth verse says, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here, Paul's letter to the Philippians, we find that there was strife and contention among the saints during this time. I wonder what's going on in the world today. The Apostle Paul is making an appeal for unity among the saints based on one common theme, their devotion to Christ. And so Paul here is admonishing them in verse 1, if you find any comfort in your salvation through Christ, that is the crucified one, just knowing about his love for us, if you can be consoled in this fact, in his love, love one another. If you know what I know, if you believe as I believe, from deep down within your very heart, if. Paul goes on to remind them in the third verse that they should let nothing be done in strife or vainglory. That they should let nothing whatsoever should be done through selfish ambition or conceit, as these are two of the greatest weapons that the enemy uses to cause division among the saints. In verse 4, he's telling them not to boast of their own doings, not to brag about their own works. In verse 5, he's admonishing them to take on Christ's mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Paul says. You see, we can't depend on our own minds, for our own minds will take us places that we sure don't want to go, that we shouldn't want to go, that we must not go. So forget about your own mind. Just lose your mind, if you will. It's a good thing to lose your mind and gain the mind of Christ. So take on the mind of Christ. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Basically, Paul is telling the Philippians, come now, y'all. Let us reason together. Come on now. We all know we have something in common. We don't always agree on everything, but here we are. We all confess the same salvation. So we all believe that Jesus died for us. And so this knowledge of what he did for all of us should unite us. It should bring us closer together. It should bond us. It should propel us to do all that we can for kingdom building. It should wake us up. It should shake us up. It should remind us of what's really operating here. It should be enough to make you stop and think, stop and regroup, stop and remember. It should be enough to make you understand and realize just what is working against us. It should be enough. Look at us now, Paul says, and look from where we've come from. Paul's probably reflecting to himself, I know where I was on that road to Damascus using my own mind. I was lost. I was misguided. I couldn't be trusted. But look at me now. Can anyone today here in 2018 identify with Paul? Can you go back in your own mind and think about where you were and how far God has brought you from? Stop. Ask yourself this question. Am I causing discourse or division in the church body? Am I causing the church blessings to be blocked? Paul pleads with them. Just being in Christ, just reflecting on all of this, it should be enough to remind us of who we are in Christ. It should be enough to bring us on one accord. Talking about unity in the body of Christ. Stop. Don't block your blessings. Church, don't block your blessings by not being on one accord. And to further get this point across, to fully illustrate why they needed to get on one accord, to further demonstrate how much they were missing the point, missing the conclusion of the whole matter, if you will, Paul proceeded to describe Christ's path on the way to the cross. Paul lays out a visual for them, a visual of what Christ did for all of them, for all of us. And in the midst of all of this, Paul goes on to say, Christ did not seek anything for himself, even knowing who he was. He didn't puff himself up during his journey on earth. Christ slept where the common man slept. He ate what the sinners ate. He walked the dusty roads, just as the disciples did. And even on the path to the cross, are you getting this picture? Are you visualizing it? Christ, when he found himself all alone, deserted by his beloved disciples, Paul reminds them in verses 6 through 8 that Jesus did not seek a name for himself. He humbled himself, and he became obedient even unto death. And because of his obedience, verses 9 through 11, Paul goes on to remind them, because of Jesus' humility, because of Jesus' love for us, because of what he suffered to allow, because he didn't call upon a legion of angels to come to his rescue, because he did not forsake us, because he never turned his back on us, even though he had been forsaken by his own people, because of all of this, he remained obedient to the Father. Because of all this, he stayed on that old rugged cross, regardless of what they did to him, how they spat on his face, how they nailed him to that cross, how they mocked him and shamed him. He remained obedient to the Father. And so, because of Jesus' obedience, God highly exalted his Son and gave him a name above every name. A name above every name. You see, on earth, Jesus bent his knees and was a servant to others. After his death and resurrection, God exalted him and decreed that every knee shall bow to him. Jesus was a servant among them, feeding them, washing their feet, counseling them, healing and delivering them, doing whatever he needed to do to teach them as he teaches us today, what we need to do and how we should live, how we should talk, how we should walk. And because of his obedience, Jesus was exalted, and a decree went out from God that one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What an awesome testimony. For Jesus withstood the test of all tests and came out victorious. I hope you have painted a picture, as Paul attempted to paint a picture of Jesus' road to that cross, to the old rugged cross, and he did it all for us. And you know, I believe that if I was the only one on earth, he would have done it just for me. You see, here, just as Paul admonishes the saints at Philippi not to exalt themselves, we are reminded today that we should not exalt ourselves, that we should be the servants of others, that God himself would exalt us in due time, that we should strive to be workers together in Christ. Church, the body of Christ, stop blocking your own blessings by being so caught up with religion that you are not watchful for souls. Church, body of Christ, we should stop blocking the church's blessings by being so caught up with religion, like the Pharisees were, that we are not so watchful for souls, which should be our priority. In Luke, the 16th chapter, after Jesus had finished talking about a certain rich man and an unjust steward, the Pharisees became upset with him. And once again, he had to tell those Pharisees about themselves. Luke 16th chapter and the 15th verse, and he said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." So I say to you today, I say to you tonight, God knows your heart. You can say what you want to say out of your mouth, but God knows your heart. Are you blocking your own blessing? Are you like the Pharisees, who were more concerned about what man thought of them than what God thought of them? Their hearts were hardened so much so, they bragged about their works. But God knew their hearts, and God knew the purpose of their actions. Stop. Are you blocking your blessings by having a hardened heart, a selfish heart, a selfish motive? What is the true purpose for your work in the kingdom? Is it to lift up the name of Jesus and draw souls to him, or is it all for nothing? Why are you laboring? Are you doing your all to the glory of God? Or are you glorified in what you are doing? Do people see Christ, excuse me, when they see you? Or do they just see you promoting yourself, exalting yourself, lifting yourself up? What is your true motive? Is it to say, look what I did today, look what I did tonight? Or does it point others to know, to really want to know what Jesus did for them? I want to pause for a minute and let you think about that. Just think about it for a minute. Are you truly a living witness for him? Are you truly a living witness for him? Bottom line, is your labor in vain? You see, Paul's telling them, wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but not much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now here, Paul's not telling them that their works are going to save them. For throughout Paul's writings, he repeatedly emphasizes that salvation is not by works, but by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, in Ephesians, the second chapter, the 8th through 10th verse, Paul says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul's teachings let us know that now that we are saved, we need to live a life of holiness. Instead of working on building strife and resentment towards others, instead of worrying about what somebody else is doing, we need to live a life of holiness. Instead of gossiping about what somebody else is not doing, we need to live a life of holiness. Instead of spreading discourse and gossiping to anyone who will listen, we need to live a life of holiness. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Here, Paul's reference to salvation, he's not talking about that of the soul, for his letter was written to the saints at Philippi. But he was talking about them being delivered from the snares of the enemy, snares that were hindering the Christians from doing the will of God, snares that caused division, strife, mumbling, and complaining, grumbling among the brethren. Snares that seek to kill, to steal, and to destroy the very body of Christ. A snare, a trap, anything dangerous, anything that tempts or attracts you towards evil doings. A snare is anything that will pull you away from your work in the kingdom. Anything that will hinder you, prevent you from doing the will of God. So what are some of the snares of the enemy that creep in and causes your work to be in vain? Do a self-evaluation, if you will. What are some things that creep in and causes you, what your work to do would be in vain? Division and strife. Gossiping. Seeking attention to yourself. The works of the flesh, basically. And don't you know that the works of the flesh will clearly, deliberately prevent you from laboring on one accord? For when you are walking in the flesh, you are not taking on the mind of Christ. And how many know that the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, talking about a war going on, division right there. Division right there. Galatians, the 5th chapter says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, Paul says, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Church, body of Christ, stop blocking your own blessing by not laboring on one accord. Church body, stop blocking your own blessing by being mean-spirited towards one another. Church body, stop blocking your own blessing by not walking on one accord. We are talking about laboring on one accord. Are you planting seeds of peace wherever you go? If so, you will reap a harvest of righteousness. Or are you jealous of someone else's position? Envy and jealousy is a snare of the enemy. There is so much to be said about these things, snares of the enemy. Of course, there are many, many more works of the flesh. But how do you live free from these snares of the enemy? How do you live free from these snares that seek to cause destruction wherever they can go? How do you live free from these hindrances that prevent you from moving forth on one accord and doing the will of God? Philippians 2 says, by letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And how do you do this? By renewing your mind daily. By renewing your mind daily. For Romans 12th chapter, the 2nd verse says, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Church, stop blocking your own blessings by fighting among yourselves, by bickering about things that really don't matter in the bigger scheme of things. Stop blocking your own blessings. Pray and repent and ask God to help you do those things that pleases Him. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Now, think about these things. There are so many things that you do that can block your blessings. And why would you want to do that when God has so many blessings in store for you? So many promises are yea and amen, but promises are conditional. It says, if you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. If you seek God's kingdom first, all other things will be added. You got to do this thing. It's about doing things decently and in order. Remember, seek ye the first, the kingdom of God, and all things will be added. Trust in Him. Delight yourself in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. God knows what your desires are, but He also knows whether you're delighting yourself in Him. I want you to really think about that. Do a self-evaluation from this day forth. Think about it. What am I doing that's blocking my blessing? What am I doing that is preventing the windows of heaven from being open so my blessings will come down? What am I doing? Am I gossiping too much? Am I living in fear? Am I walking according to the flesh? What am I doing to block my own blessing? Am I talking about someone else? Am I not trusting Him as I should? What am I doing to block my own blessing? When He's telling me to be still, am I moving? If He's telling me to be still, am I moving? If He's telling me to be still, am I moving and going about doing things my own way? Be still and know that I am God. Do I pray? Do I seek His wisdom? Do I seek His guidance? Or do I go about my day and then at the end of the day ask the question, God, why did you allow such and such to happen to me? Start your day off early in the morning. Ask Him for wisdom. He tells us in James, if you ask for wisdom, I'll give it to you. Ask Him. Ask Him. Prove God. Prove Him. Prove His word. Repeat His word back to Him. God, you said in your word that if I let it delight myself in you, you would give me the desires of my heart. Father, you told me in your word that you're greater in me than He who is in the world. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, because you said where two or three are together in your name, touching and agreeing, you're in the midst. I thank you for being in my presence. Thank Him on a daily basis. Give Him the honor. Give Him the glory. And give Him the praise that He deserves. Go to God. Seek His face. Don't just seek what He can do for you. Seek His face. Lord, what it is that you would have me to do today. Lord, point me toward a soul that I can point to you today. Father, I don't want to do anything that's going to block my blessing. And Father, help me to be a blessing to somebody else. I don't want to be selfish with this thing. Help me to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, for the most part, I have been talking to you as my brother and as my sister. I've been talking to the church body. But I want you to share this word with everybody, not just those who are saved. More importantly, go out and share with someone who's not saved. Get this. If you are listening to this message and you have not accepted Him as your Savior, as long as you can hear my voice, it's not too late. For if you are hearing this message, it's not too late. Right now, Jesus stands ready with arms stretched wide to welcome you home. So if you are not saved, if you have not repented of your sins and accepted Jesus into your heart, if you are not 100% sure if you breathe your last breath right now, you is where you will spend eternity, I want you to listen very closely. Nobody can save you but Jesus. Trust Jesus today. The Word of God lets us know there is only one way to God, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. For John 14:6, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any kind, in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So are you saved? Are you born again? Have you made the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life? Romans 10:9, the Word of God says, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. First thing you need to do is admit that you are a sinner. I don't care how good you think you are. The Word of God lets us know in Romans 3rd chapter, the 10th verse, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The second thing you need to do is be willing to turn from your sin. Be willing to repent from your sin. And the third thing you need to do is believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, believe that he was buried, and believe that he rose from the dead. For Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the fourth thing you need to do is through prayer, which you can do right now, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. For Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what to pray? If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you can do that right now. You can do that right now. So just repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died on the cross for my sin. I am willing to turn from my sin. So I now invite Christ to come into my life and my heart as my personal Savior. Amen. If you did that, if you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior just now, guess what? The angels in heaven are rejoicing with you this very moment. And I and all of our brothers and sisters rejoice with you at this very moment, because you have just begun a wonderful new life in Christ, a wonderful new life in Christ. So praise God for this new life. Now you need to get a good Bible and read your Bible every day to get to know Jesus Christ better. You need to talk to God in prayer every day and ask him for wisdom every day. I thank God for you. I thank God that you've been listening, and I hope that you won't just take this word and just keep it to yourself. I hope you go out and share the good news with somebody else. For there's a soul out there that's dying. And who knows but God, if you're that very instrument, if you're that very vessel that God wants to use to pour somebody else to Christ. Don't be selfish with that. As you have just become a new convert, there's somebody out there waiting for you to share the good news. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the soul that has just come crying out to you. Thank you, Lord God, for salvation, Lord God, so rich and yet so free. Thank you, Father, for your word that's gone forth. Because you did tell us in your word, Lord God, that when it went forth, it would never return unto you empty-handed. That it would go out and accomplish that which you have purposed for it to accomplish. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us this vessel, Lord God, this instrument, Lord God, that we can use to reach your people, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that they've heard your word, Lord God, and that your word is sealed right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all your many blessings. Lord, we ask and believe that we'd be more sensitive to your will, Lord God, that we would not do things intentionally that would be blocking our own blessings. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us, Lord God, to know, Lord God, through your word, Father, that there are things that we do or don't do that can block our blessings. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, because you and you alone are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen Amen and amen. Go with God and know that the best is still yet to come. Amen.
Amen. What an awesome word. I'm telling you, man. Yeah, if you missed part one, you can go back and listen to it on Blog Talk Radio or Don't Block Your Blessing. We also, you can listen to us on iTunes or iHeartRadio or, just a variety of different platforms that we're listed on. But go back and listen to this, man. This is an awesome message. This is what the body of Christ need to hear today. I mean, I know I needed it for myself, but I believe Jesus is talking, the Holy Spirit is talking to us, okay? So we got to pay attention. We got to pay attention, amen? So stay tuned. We're going to play a couple commercial breaks, and then we're going to get on out of here and talk about a couple new shows we got started. Amen. Especially on this next Sunday, where the R3, we'll be back together with Real Life, Real Men, and Real Talk with myself and Elston Green and Cleophas Malone and Antonio Mitchell. So that's next Sunday at 7 p.m. Amen. So just stay tuned. We're going to play a couple commercials, and then we'll get out of here.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life for a Word in Season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Louis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month, join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Minister Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time. Hey, family. We are excited to have two new broadcasts added to the When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One, hosted by Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson. It airs every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our hosts cover a wide range of topics to help build stronger marriages. They leave nothing off the table. Our newest broadcast, R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk, premieres Sunday, October 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and will air every second Sunday of the month. Our hosts, Elston Green, Cleophas Malone, Antonio Mitchell, and Ray Rose, will create a space by men and for men to have real conversations. It's time to be free, men, from false standards and the expectations of society, family, and self. You don't want to miss this first show, this Sunday, October 14th, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
When Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry, we are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
So go out to our website, that's www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on the donation page. God bless you.